So, I'm going to do what I did last time, where I started out with a quote from Brother Branham that I thought was very significant and something I wanted to focus on, because I've been talking about Proverbs and talking about, you know, Solomon and the wisdom that he had in his life and the discernment and things like that. And, you know, just talking a little bit more about why I think wisdom is so important for us to get. So Brother Branham, in the message, God keeps his word. He says, well, after that come along the Pentecostal, and the Pentecostal begin to find the gifts. As soon as they got the gifts, first thing, the littlest gift in the whole group is speaking in tongues. That's the last and smallest. God started with the amateur things. They couldn't even hold that. So here Brother Ben was talking about how speaking in tongues, something that maybe we see as very great and something that we maybe don't understand very much, and we think, oh, that's amazing, someone can speak in tongues or something like that can happen. He's saying that that's the littlest gift of the whole group. That's the littlest and smallest, and God started with the little things. And something that maybe, just because of our human understanding, to think of someone else speaking an entire different language they don't even know, and just spontaneously being able to do that, to us we see that as something great and supernatural, and it's amazing, and it is amazing, and it is supernatural. And Brother Branham here is saying that's the littlest and smallest gift. And we tend to confuse that with, like, oh, that's amazing, that's like someone speaking a different language. You know, speaking in tongues, it's like, wow, that's really up here. But really, he's saying that's the littlest gift. And he continues to say, looky here, the first gift of the line of gifts is wisdom, and the second is knowledge. And if you don't have any wisdom, how do you know what to do with knowledge? So here he's talking about wisdom and knowledge and wisdom, and those are the first two gifts that are listed in the scriptures. And he's saying you need wisdom to apply knowledge. You can't just have, because sometimes you have knowledge, but if you don't know how to apply it, or how to, even sometimes to get it across to people, or how to talk to people about it, or when to do something. Like, you may know what the right thing is to do, but knowing like when the time is to do the right thing, that could be wisdom. So even the Bible says, you know, there's this and there's that. There's a time for this. You know the scripture that says there's a time for this. There's a time for rejoicing. There's a time for sorrow, there's a time for this, there's a time for that. So with everything, there's a time for it. So just having knowledge, you might have knowledge of what to do or what's going on, but if you don't have the wisdom to know when that knowledge is to be applied, you could actually be doing a disservice, or you could be doing something out of order. You don't have the wisdom to apply that knowledge, or how to use that knowledge, or the way to say things, or even the, you know, younger or newer people in the message, like the wisdom to know how much to tell them, or don't just give them, you know, a big portion of the word that maybe they won't be able to digest right away. You know, even Brother Ben, we know that Brother Ben talks about, like, how metaphorically newer people are babies in the word, and babies, you know, they need milk. You can't just give a baby a steak because they'll choke on it, you know. So even having knowledge of the word is good, but having wisdom to know how to, you know, apply that knowledge is what's really important, or else, you know, it's like the power without character. Like, knowledge is very powerful, but if you don't have the character to know how to use it, you know, it can end up being used for the wrong things. So you need to have wisdom in order to know what to do with knowledge, which is exactly what Brother Branham's saying here. He says, how do you know what to do with knowledge if you don't have wisdom? And he says, seek the best things first, wisdom. So of all the spiritual gifts, of all the miracles, the healings, and teachings and preachings, he says the best thing to seek is wisdom. Seek the best things first. And he says that's wisdom. He says, if you ain't got wisdom, what can you do with knowledge or speaking in tongues, you know, or these other things? So what we may see as, you know, very high and spiritual, you know, you still need wisdom to know when to apply those things. There's an order for how things are supposed to be done in the church and things like that. So you need to have wisdom to know when those things are to be applied. And that's what you should seek first before all those other things is wisdom. Because if you, you know, you can speak in tongues and you can praise and sing and do all those things, but if you don't have the wisdom of what the message is really talking about, all those things are in vain, because you're just, you know, you're just doing them or going through the motions. But having wisdom to know what the word is really talking about, that is supernatural, and that's what's really gonna, you know, guide you through the word and guide you through your life, is the wisdom. And he goes on, Brother Branham goes on to say, it takes wisdom, it takes God's wisdom. Solomon said, call your mother, right? So he says it takes wisdom, it takes God's wisdom. So you need to be able to, even with the stature of perfect man, with all these virtues that are being given unto us, or that we're trying to obtain, you know, it's like faith, you know, virtue, knowledge, and all those things, but it's really God's faith, it's God's knowledge, it's God's wisdom, it's God's patience, temperance, but they become ours when he gives them to us. So who wants a pencil? Anyone want a pencil? You want a pencil? Here we go. So Zoe, whose pencil is that?
Mine.
It's mine, but I just
gave it to me.
Right. So now that's your pencil. So even if someone comes to take that pencil, even if I were to come and try and take that pencil back from you, you can say, well, no, you gave it to me. So, and you said it was for me to keep. So now that's actually your pencil. You're in possession of that pencil. So someone could come up to you and say, well, I saw Michael holding that pencil earlier today, and said, no, but he gave it to me. So it's mine now. You know, it's the same with the virtues that God gives us. You know, Brother Branham gave that example. It's my eye. God gave it to me, but it's my eye. So when God gives you wisdom, patience, faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, brotherly love, kindness, all those things, he's given them to you, but now they're yours to claim and yours to use and utilize in the right way. And he'll lead you on how to use those things. So once something is given to you, even as a gift, even Christmas is coming up, so people are going to get gifts and things like that. So if someone gives you a gift, that's your gift. They bought it, their money, they wrapped it for you, they gave it to you. They can't then give it to you, you open it, and then they say, well, actually, I'm taking that back. Because, and you're like, no, it's mine. You gave it to me. So it's actually become yours. It's in your possession. So they can't be taken away from you once it's in your possession. So it's important to know that these virtues are ours once they're given to us. And same thing with the new birth. You have to claim it. Once it's given to you, it's yours. You know, you have to claim it, and you have to know, you know, what your rights are, where you stand on that, because it can't be taken away from you once it's been given to you. So it's completely yours. And that pencil is yours to keep. So
thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So Brother Branham goes on to say, the part where he says, Brother Branham talks about what Solomon said. He said, Solomon said, call your mother, which is what we read in Proverbs, where wisdom was being personified as, you know, as a woman. And says she calls out in the streets and she does this and she yearns for, you know, people to understand and people to heed the wisdom. But so he's referring to that scripture where Solomon personified wisdom, which is the one that we read here. So, and then he continues to say, but what did they do? The Pentecostals received speaking in tongues, and they made a denomination out of it. And they went, said, this is it. Sure, they did. And the mixed multitude went with them. So Brother Branham is showing how, you know, there's the smallest gift of speaking in tongues, and they've created a whole denomination out of it. Pentecost, you know, they've said, oh, if you speak in tongues, if you shout, if you, you know, run across the platform, if you do all this, then you have the new birth. And that's it. And they've made an entire denomination out of this one spiritual gift. There's 9 spiritual gifts, and they've made an entire denomination out of one of them. And Brother Branham says that it's the least of them. It's the littlest, smallest gift is speaking in tongues. And they made an entire denomination out of it. So we can't major on the minors, as Brother Branham says. We can't focus on just the smallest thing and make it everything. We have to take the whole word, and not just focus on the parts that we like or the parts that we want to focus on. We have to focus on the whole word. So now we can get into reading 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. So we covered this last time, but I want to go over it again, because that is the truly supernatural part. Is that he says that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. So the wisdom and knowing that Jesus is Lord, just the knowledge and the ability to say and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, that is supernatural. That is, because that's the whole thing. You can do all these supernatural things, and you can, you know, Brother Branham talks about how even witch doctors in Africa or different places he's been to, you know, those people who practice demonology and all those things, they can also speak in tongues. They can also shout, and they can also get, you know, caught up in the spirit. But they can't say Jesus is Lord by the Holy Ghost, because they don't have the Holy Ghost. But you today, we can say Jesus is Lord. And if you believe that in your heart, that you're saying that by the Holy Ghost. So if you can say that, then, you know, that right there, that's supernatural. Because there's plenty of people in the world who you talk to, and, you know, even people, you know, who ask me what I believe, and I'll talk to them about it, talk to them about the word. And they just don't seem to grasp it. They don't always seem to get it. And, you know, and they can't really say Jesus is Lord. You know, they can talk about the Bible, maybe they can talk about their interpretation, they can talk about what they think, and they can even say, maybe they might even claim to be Christian, they might even say that they believe in a God or something, but they can't say Jesus is Lord, because they don't have that wisdom, they don't have the knowledge to say that. So the fact that, you know, we today can hear and stand and say that, that is supernatural. And that's really, you know, something that is, that's led of the Holy Spirit. That we shouldn't just think it's, you know, maybe we hear it so much, or we're around it so much, we've been raised in the message or things like that. We think that that's just, you know, that's normal, but it's not normal. And it is supernatural if you can believe that in your heart and say that. And that's what the scripture says, is that if you can say, you can't even say it and believe it in your heart except by the Holy Ghost. So that's what the scripture is telling us. So now, in verse 4, it says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. But there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh in all. So there's different manifestations of God and the Spirit, and different, you know, ways that the Spirit operates, but it's the same God working in all. In verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. So now he's talking, now he's going to the spiritual gifts. So he's the first gift, like you're saying, for one is given by the Spirit of the word of wisdom. That's the first gift, is wisdom. As the Brother Brandon was talking about, the first gift that's mentioned is wisdom. So that's he said, seek the best things first. You know, and he's saying that the littlest gift was speaking in tongues, and the first gift was wisdom. So the first thing that he lists right here in the scriptures is wisdom. So that's what really, that's how important it is. Like, that was the first thing he said, was wisdom. He didn't say, well, if you can, you know, call lightning down from the sky, or if you can, you know, speak a miracle into existence, and all those things are great. But the first thing he mentioned was wisdom, and that's why Brother Branham says that's the first and best gift is wisdom. And the second thing, gift he, in verse 8, the second gift is to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit. To another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. Another discerning of spirits. Another divers kinds of tongues. To another the interpretation of tongues. So the first three gifts were wisdom, knowledge, and faith. And those are spiritual gifts. We may not think of them like that, but that is what they are. That's what the scripture says they are. And that is truly what something supernatural. If you can have the knowledge and the wisdom to apply it, and faith in the word, you know, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you can have faith and knowledge, then those things, that is supernatural, that you can have faith and believe in God's word. And when someone is preaching, you can identify what they're saying. you know, with the word and with the Bible and with what the prophet has said, that is supernatural, that you can comprehend that. And we may do it so often that we may not even think about it, but that is supernatural, because like I said, there's plenty of people out there who you can go and talk to them about the Bible, the scriptures, and they'll deny it, they won't agree with it, they won't see what you're saying, they won't understand. But for those of you that believe, you know, that is what's really, that's the miracle, that we can believe and that we can see the truth for what it is. Because think of how few people actually know the truth and actually follow the Bible. People who claim to be Christian and claim to, you know, claim to be believers and claim to believe in Christ, even some of them, you know, cut their hair. We know there's many denominations out there. Like Brother Branham was even talking about Pentecost in his quote, that, you know, there's denominations out there that would take this little part of the word and then they'll just make that everything. Like, this is the whole, you know, if you speak in tongues, well, then you're it. You're sealed in heaven. That's it. Doesn't matter what you do. Doesn't matter if you cut your hair. Doesn't matter if you do this. Doesn't matter if you do that. If you can just speak in tongues one time, then, you know, you're saved. You're in the kingdom of God. And yet, Brother Bram's saying that's the least of the gifts. It's one of the last gifts that's mentioned in the scripture. So just your ability to comprehend, you know, the different gifts and to comprehend and to, you know, mentally see what's going on and to have your eyes opened to the scriptures, that is a supernatural blessing. And Brother Wade's been preaching on how your thoughts are so important, how you think this, you think that, and how your thoughts can be so important to, you know, what you can receive in the word. And he quotes Brother Branham when he says this, having the right mental attitude towards the promises of God is what can help you receive it. And it's not, you know, well, if you sing the loudest in church, or if you, you know, if you jump the highest in church, or if you speak tongues more than everyone else. It's just if you can look at the word of God, if you can read the word of God, understand it, and then believe it and accept it in your heart. And when you can hear someone preaching it, and it goes through your ears and it goes into your soul, and you can accept it there. And that's really the supernatural part, is being able to comprehend the word and having the wisdom and God giving you wisdom and how to apply it and how to talk to your brothers and sisters about the wisdom and about the word and apply it in your life and just living a testimony and doing those things. That's what's really going to please God. It's not just the action, the you know, jumping up and down and screaming, shouting, singing, but it's really just accepting what he said, you know. And that's really, you know, fellowship is being able to commune with someone and talk to someone and listen to them and understand what they're saying and to, you know, repeat it back to them so they know that you understand, you know. And that's what we're doing with God, is that fellowship, is that communication, is just eating off the word and being able to repeat it back to our brothers and sisters and them being able to repeat it back to us and understanding, and we can have a conversation about those things. But it's a holy conversation. It's a supernatural conversation. The fact that we can have that conversation is a supernatural thing, that we can understand each other. We can come to the same revelation of what the word is saying, and that is supernatural. So I think it's good to remember that and not to lose sight of that. That wisdom and knowledge and faith are just as supernatural as speaking in tongues and miracles and healings and all those things. Just having wisdom and knowledge and faith in the word is just as supernatural as all the other spiritual gifts and all the other miracles that happen. So we are all, you know, partaking of the supernatural, even today, right now. So it's a blessing. And I believe we're on verse 9. To another by the same Spirit. Oh, wait.
Verse 10.
Okay, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, another discerning of spirits, another's divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Verse 11, but all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So even here he's saying they're all of the same Spirit. So the same Spirit that's allowing you to believe the word, the same Spirit that's allowing miracles to happen, that allowing you to speak in tongues, is the same Spirit that allows you to, you know, have wisdom and knowledge of what the word is saying. When you read something and understand it and get a revelation of it, and now that becomes part of your collection of knowledge of the word. The same Spirit, it's all the same Spirit. You know, like I said, just the wisdom, knowledge, faith is just as supernatural as speaking in tongues, healings, miracles. They're all just as supernatural, and they're all of God. They're all of the same Spirit. So it's good to keep that in mind. In verse 12, talks about the members of the body. It says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." So here it's saying that we're all in the same body, and we're all members of the body of Christ. You know, whether it be Jew, Gentile, bond or free, you know, whatever you come from, whatever your background is, whatever you struggle with, whatever's happened in your past, we're all of the same Spirit now. Once you come into the body of Christ, once you have the new birth and you're part of the body of Christ, you know, we all have a part to play. We all, you know, no one's more important than the other. You know, we should live. And that's why we should, you know, live holy, and not just for ourselves, but also, you know, for God. And we should live holy for our brothers and sisters as well. You know, because if you're a part of the body of Christ, the things you do and say will affect the members of the body. You know, and you might not always think like that, but you know, the scripture says. Well, let's read the scripture. Verse 14 says, "For the body is not one member, but many." So you're one body. Even us as humans, we have one body, but we have many members of our body, like our fingers, our hands, our feet, our legs, our knees, elbows, chest, torso, face. There's many parts that make up a body. Of course, we all appear as one, and we should be one. But at the same time, there's many different parts that have different functions that allow us to, you know, move and operate. And verse 15, "If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, you know, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would the smelling?" So the same way that, you know, my finger can't be separate from me, or it can't be separate from, you know, my legs, even though my finger might wave up, fingers might be way up here and my legs are way down here, it's still part of the same body. And even though my finger I might use to grab things or pick things up, and my legs I might use to run or walk, they all serve a purpose. So it's all part of the body. We can't not be part, you know, of the body, and we can't separate ourselves from the fact that, you know, we're all part of the body of Christ, and everything that we do affects, you know, the whole body and affects our brothers and sisters, and why we need to constantly be, you know, reverent in the service and be reverent for it towards each other and towards the problems that each other has. So just because, like it says, just because your ear doesn't says like, oh, it's not, I'm not part of the, you know, I'm not the hand, or I'm not the feet, or I'm not the legs, so that doesn't make the feet not a part of it. So you even sometimes, you know, maybe our families, we don't like to, sometimes we get upset with them, or maybe we have conflicting things and we think, oh well, I wish I could find my real family, or oh, I wish that, you know, there was some other family that could pick me up, or I want to run away, or things like that. But that's still, you know, that's still part of your family. That's still, you know, part of who you are. You're part of this family or that family, and you can't, you know, separate that by just, you know, maybe not by not desiring it. That is, you are just what you are. So that's just, and the same is spiritually for the body of Christ, is that we're all part. We all have a part to play. We all have, you know, some people, you know, preachers, like singers, song leaders, or like even Abby up there working in the back, or sometimes, you know, people work on the sound system, or people sing a special every once in a while, or even just people who just come to church and amen the word, or just there and just gleaning on the Spirit, or just there being an example to others. You know, everyone has a part to play in the body, and no one's part is insignificant. So just remember that. Remember that you're a member of the body. Remember that you have a part to play. Remember that, you know, your role is not insignificant in whatever you're doing, and just remember that we're all part of the, all part of the same body, and what we desire is unity and being able to, you know, be a true family, the family of God and part of the body of Christ. So God bless you. You're dismissed.